So the Detroit Pistons have officially fallen to number 5 in the draft, but could they possibly end up with 2 top 10 picks in this draft? We'll talk about a team that has been rumored to be interested in Jerami Grant for quite a long time now, and whether they'd be interested in moving one of their picks for Jerami in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'd like to thank today's sponsor of Locked On Pistons, Sakura Nutrition. Sakura is a wellness company anchored in food as well as medicine on a mission to nourish. Go to sakura.com/lockedon20 or enter code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at checkout. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. And we are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. So just to give you guys a little update about how this podcast is going to go today. We are going to talk with the Locked On Trailblazers host to start off. But then right after that, we're going to transition into a crossover that we did with Locked On Kings host, Matt George. So it's going to feel a little bit wonky possibly. But sit back, enjoy it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So like I said, we're going to have the Trailblazers host on, Mike Richmond. Mike, how are you doing, man? Thank you for coming on.
I'm doing all right. I'm excited to talk about Jerami Grant because he is the greatest future Blazer of all time. He's been a future Blazer now for like 6 months or something.
Right.
So I've talked about him a bunch on my show, so I'm glad to hop on yours and talk about him too.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and get into it then. So at the deadline, it seemed like there was a bunch of rumors, obviously, that Jerami was going to be traded. I thought he was going to be traded at the deadline, whether it was through the Trailblazers or someone else, I thought he'd be traded. But ever since the trade deadline, even a little bit before then, it seems like that the Portland Trailblazers have emerged as the clear-cut number one favorite to get Jerami Grant. Do you feel like that they are still pushing as hard as it seemed like they were pushing at the deadline to get Jerami on their squad?
Yeah, it seems like I don't know. It would if the Blazers traded CJ McCollum at the deadline to try to acquire a second top 10 pick. If the Blazers had gotten that second top 10 pick, this would be a done deal, right? Like they'd be sending 11 to Detroit and Jerami would be coming back to his birth city to lead the Blazers to the 9th best record in the Western Conference. like it would be done. I think them not getting where they wanted to go complicates it a little bit, but I absolutely think these two teams will have a long chat about trying to get Jerami to Portland because I think it's real that Damian Lillard really wants to play with him.
Yeah, and we saw some of those pictures from Jusuf Nurkić and Josh Hart after one of the games the Pistons played during the season of them, like, quote-unquote, tampering with him afterwards. They had a bunch of eye emojis when they tweeted out. So it was all in good fun. But yeah, the rumors definitely have been heating up all season. And now the Trailblazers, the Pistons fall to 5, but the Trailblazers end up with the number 7 overall pick. Now, I don't know if the Trailblazers would value Jerami or if they value him enough to get rid of that number 7 overall pick, but something that's going on in the Pistons community immediately, as soon as the lottery ended, was, okay, could the Pistons possibly end up with 5 and 7 by trading Jerami Grant to the Portland Trailblazers for that number 7 overall pick with the trade exception or Eric Bledsoe and Justice Winslow, something around that, like salary filler kind of thing. Do you think that's something the Portland Trailblazers could be interested in, or do you think that's a little bit too lofty to want for Jerami Grant?
Could they be interested in it? Yeah, I think they could be. The seventh overall pick for Jerami Grant seems like a really bad trade for Portland. With all due respect, like a straight up terrible trade for them. Jerami Grant's good. Like I like Jerami Grant. His best role is as a complementary part. Like this, Jerami Grant as your third or fourth best player on a really good team is the best role for him. You know, he had an incredible half season in Detroit where he looked like he was going to be something more than that. I think he's come back to earth a little bit. I think he was better as a complementary player down the stretch for the Pistons. But if the trade is the 7th overall pick for Jerami Grant, and then you sign him to like a $25 million a year extension, that's bad business for the Blazers. I don't run the team. I host a daily podcast. So I think that they will consider it. I think they will consider it. I think it's real that the Blazers will consider it. But I don't like it for them because I think it's an irresponsible way to build a team. That doesn't mean that it won't happen, though.
All right, so let's go ahead and take out the seventh overall pick then, because I think a lot of Pistons fans are hoping that that deal gets done. They're eventually able to get 5-7. Last night I was talking to my friends about this, and I was like, I'd love to have the number seven overall pick, and I hope the Trail Blazers value Jeremy Grant that high. But for me, I feel like that would be the Pistons really getting away with highway robbery, in my opinion, if they were able to get Jeremy for number seven. But if their Trailblazers are trying to keep Dame happy and they want to build a competitive team and that's something that they want to do, I mean, obviously we'd all be happy about it. But if you took away the seventh overall pick, what's another package that you could see possibly happening? Because looking at the roster, what's the more interesting prospect you guys have? Is it Keon Johnson right now?
Oof. Yeah. So this is a really funny thing about fan bases. I think the Pistons fan base, they're like, Nazir Little, Justice Winslow for Jeremy Grant. You throw in a little Kojo, you maybe make it happen. And I look at that and I'm like, oh my God, if the Blazers trade seven and they're only two forwards on the roster for freaking Corey Joseph or Hami Diallo and Jeremy Grant, like, oh my God, will I make fun of them on the podcast? Like, that's like a month of me clowning them, maybe a year of me clowning them, right? Like that's just free jokes forever. And then you flip over to sort of the Blazers fan base, and this is like the quote realistic package that Blazers fans are pitching for Jeremy Grant. And I would love your reaction on this.
All right.
The Milwaukee Bucks top four protected 2025 pick, Keon Johnson and salary filler if they need it, or just Keon Johnson and the traded player exception. So you get a 2025 first and Keon Johnson, who was a top 20 pick in the 2021 draft. And you'd get out from under Jeremy Grant's money. How does that sound to you?
It does not sound good at all. Not very good.
So, okay. What if they throw in the 36th pick in the 2022 NBA draft, like an early first rounder? Does that sweeten it for you, Koo?
Nah, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Oh,
but that's I'm glad you bring it up, because I've said this on the podcast before many times that it's hard for fan bases to like take that. Those lenses off to like try to find a realistic trade out there without it trying to be a complete home run for your own team. So right. that's why it's real interesting to me, because I don't know. The thing is, I still see Portland from our point of view as the clear cut team that's going to be pushing the hardest for Jeremy. But the thing is, I don't see, like, outside of the number seven overall pick, which I think would be too much value for Jeremy. I don't feel like you guys have like a, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, it goes seven overall pick. I don't think there's like a mid ground
right
here. It's like seven and then immediate drop off to like something that they probably wouldn't do, or they would have taken the deal at the deadline.
Right. The Blazers have a lottery protected pick that they still owe to Chicago from the Larry Nance, Derrick Jones Jr. trade. So, and that one is lottery protected through 2028. So Portland doesn't really have future first. They could do some, change the protection. So, hey, if it's lottery protected to Chicago, but it's not lottery protected to the Pistons, or it's like 5 through 14 protected to the Pistons. So they could trade future picks with like moving the protections around a little bit on it. But you know, would they, is that something they'd be interested in? How far down the line would the Blazers be willing to give out a first round pick, and how soon would Detroit want that first round pick? Like there's a lot there, but I will say this. I think both teams are motivated. I think Pistons are motivated to get out from under having to maybe extend Jeremy Grant's money. I think they want to get something for him and kind of do that quickly. And I think the Blazers are a team that is distinctly motivated to get veterans to appease Damian Lillard and make a run. I think they cleared all this cap space and they did all these things to specifically try to make another run with Dame. And they've been heavily linked to Jeremy Grant. I think a deal, if I had to bet, like if you're just telling me, yes, I think a deal gets done. But from where I sit today, we're recording this in like middle of May, I don't see an easy and obvious path. And when I read the pitches from, you know, Pistons fans and Blazers fans, I say, boy, it's a long way to meet in the middle.
Yeah. And one of the trades, and I'll leave it off at this, is that one of the trades I saw on Bleacher Report was, I don't know if you saw this trade that Bleacher Report put out yesterday. It was Jeremy, I think it was Jeremy for seven, Winslow and Bledsoe, I think it was, is the one I saw. And that, like, That's the thing. It's just so, it's going to be so hard to see how it works, because again, like we've talked about, could I see Portland getting rid of the seventh pick for Jeremy? Yeah. But I think that would be a massive win for the Pistons, So I think that would be something Portland fans would be very disappointed in. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get this to work. It looks harder than it seems right now.
Can I pitch this to you before you kick me out of here? Would you swap Jeremy and 5 for 7?
No.
Okay. So there you go. I wouldn't either. I don't think the Pistons should do that either. I wouldn't move back that far because I think 5 is still a lot sexier names than 7 is. I think that matters. But this is kind of, I think we're getting to closer to what these calls sound like, is that both teams are motivated to get it done, but how they meet in the middle will be the fascinating part.
All right, so I'll let you answer this, and then we'll let you go. Like you said, if you had to bet money, do you think the Trailblazers end up with Jeremy Grant by the end of the offseason?
Yeah, I would bet a small amount of money on it. Yes, I think there's too much. There's too
not too much.
Small
money.
Amount of money. I'm a podcaster, coo.
Fair enough. Thank you, Mike, for coming on, man. I really appreciate it, man. All you guys, all you Pistons fans, go check out his podcast. Go show some love underneath his YouTube comments. Thank you, Mike, again. Appreciate you coming on, giving us some insight from the Portland side of things.
Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. All right, so let me go ahead and tell you guys about some of our sponsors. First, let me tell you a little bit about Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is a new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. And because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. Truebill has over 2 million users and helps save them over $100 million. And like Matthew B. says, quote, in a matter of seconds, I save $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill, $120 a year on my SiriusXM bill, and save $840 a year on car insurance, end quote. So don't fall for the subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Then let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, Built Bar. Imagine dipping your finger into that plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing that it was only 150 calories and 16 grams of protein. That is what it's like to eat the birthday cake puff bar from Built Bar. I just received the birthday cake puff bars the other week, and there's one flavor that I've had a little bit better. I feel like the peanut butter flavor is still my number one, but this birthday cake flavor definitely is coming in at number two. They're available right now, and I can't promise you guys that it'll be there tomorrow. So go get them today at built.com. If you haven't tried any of the puff bars, I'll let you in on a little secret because that's what friends do. A chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar, you heard me, delicious flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. Make every day your birthday with Built's Birthday Cake Puff Bar. Built has taken the delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake and rolled in 100% white chocolate and added sprinkles. With 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, only 9 grams of sugar, this limited time flavor is an amazing option if you are looking for a healthy way to get flavor and variety in your day. Built bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, and that means with Built you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. So go to Built.com to get the birthday cake puff bar now. Again, go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Again, Built.com, use code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever.
Well, we now know where the Sacramento Kings pick lands. Number 4 overall, way better than what we expected initially. And now we can enjoy the speculation of what do the Kings do with number 4 overall? Do they draft a player or do they trade the pick like many of us believe was going to be the case if they were at 7? And with 4 overall, the Kings can really look at the possibility of trading down in the draft, getting a worse pick, but also taking on assets in a trade like that. And maybe they don't have to trade that far down. Joining me right now, Koo Cahill from the Locked On Pistons podcast. Koo, the Pistons end up at 5, the Kings end up at 4. I'm not going to start this podcast asking how you're doing because I know last night wasn't the greatest night for you. We'll just jump into the possibility of these two teams being trade partners. Could you see a reasonable future where the Pistons and the Kings end up swapping?
I see a future where it could happen, but it would require some stuff to happen top 3 wise that we probably aren't expecting to happen at this point.
That's a great place to start. So assuming the top 3 is what some combination of what everybody believes to be Jabari, Chet, and Paulo, Jaden Ivey what does he do for you? What does he do for Detroit Pistons fans? I imagine, it's based off the sound of it, it doesn't sound like there would be a yearning, or maybe a desperation is the correct word, for Detroit to want to get their hands on Ivy, so much so that they're willing to trade away an asset just to move up one spot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think the Pistons would be interested in moving up for Jaden Ivy. I personally, right now, I haven't done a deep dive into him, but I have some like base level concerns about his fit with the Pistons in general. And I don't think that he, I know a lot of Pistons fans do love him. He's explosive. It seems like he's fun to watch. But I know that there's, between him and Sharp, I don't think there's that big of a difference between them to where the Pistons would want, like you said, give up an asset just to move up one spot. And also there's some other wings that the Pistons have been rumored to be liking, Keegan Murray, AJ Griffin. So I think at the position the Pistons are at five, I don't think they would be moving up for one of those guys. I feel like they probably have a lot of those guys around the same type of tier.
Out of the top three, it is very possible that one of them does slide, although I wouldn't necessarily bet against it right now. But out of the top three, what's the dream scenario of the player that slides? And in your mind, who's the most likely to slide? Are they the same person?
So I think the most likely person to slide is Paolo. I think it's pretty set in stone that Chet will be going one to Orlando. It sounds like that Jabari is pretty set to go OKC number two. And then Paolo, I think that's where, again, I think he does go three. I think those guys will be the top three. But I think if I had to pick one, it'd be Paolo, because I kind of question whether, you know, they have Kevin Porter Jr., they have Jalen Green, they have Christian Wood, a lot of guys that want the ball in their hands. And Paolo's another guy that probably is going to need the ball in his hands. So I question whether that would be like the best possible fit. They probably don't care about fit. They're just going to take the best talent right now. But I think out of all the top three guys, I think Paolo would be the most likely one to fall, even though, again, I don't see any of them falling.
So that's interesting then. If we get to draft night and there's 5 minutes in between each pick and we see the Houston Rockets at number three go in a different direction and Paolo is available at four, are the Pistons then potentially... Again, desperate doesn't feel like the right word, but if the Kings pick up the phone and call the Detroit Pistons and say, we're taking Paolo here unless you make us a big offer, what would Detroit asset-wise be most willing to give up to move that spot? How desperate would they be to move up that spot to land Paolo?
So the thing is that I think that would become very interesting if Paolo were to fall to you guys at four. I think that's when you possibly would start seeing the Pistons consider a move up. The thing is that it requires, the Pistons would have to take literally their entire offseason into account before they pulled this move off, because right now they're rumored to be interested in DeAndre Ayton in free agency. He's a restricted free agent, and that might have to require a sign and trade, which would probably require Jeremy Grant in that situation, I think. So if they do decide to move Jeremy Grant, if let's say Paolo falls to four and the Kings, like you said, call the Pistons, hey, we're going to take Paolo unless you offer us a trade, I think obviously the trade would have to center around Jeremy Grant. And if they do that trade, I'm not going to say they're punting on DeAndre Ayton, because they could still get him without Jeremy Grant possibly. But I think that would lessen the likelihood of that happening. So they would have to make a choice right then and there. Like, we are going to go after Paolo. We'll trade Jeremy for Paolo, or discuss a package around that area. And we are understanding that that is going to come at the risk that we might not be able to pull off a signing of DeAndre Ayton. So I think it would be incredibly interesting. I think it would be, if Paolo fell, I think that's when things would start heating up a little bit.
So this conversation is already kind of going in a direction which I expected. And you brought up Jeremy Grant there. No mention of Sadiq Bey at all. And I've been telling Kings fans in the interactions that I've been having on social media, even before chatting with you about Sadiq Bey, I've been sharing with you the Kings would absolutely have to blow the Pistons out of the water with a deal, or they would have to be truly desperate in order to include Sadiq Bey in a package. We're talking the only way the Kings probably would have gotten Sadiq Bey is if they had moved into the top three or maybe even top two. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, I think it would take that. And then even if they did, you guys did move into the top two, top three, I don't think Torrey Reaver would be interested. Would you want a trade, a top three pick for Sadiq Bey? Probably. Like, if I was a GM and I was offered like a top three pick for Sadiq Bey, is that value-wise where he's at? Yeah, it's probably more value-wise than what he actually is. But I think that Torrey Reaver probably would still pass on that, because Sadiq Bey has developed really well. He's a nice player, and they really like Sadiq Bey. So I don't think that he would even Troy Weaver is even interested in discussing a Sadiq Bey trade anywhere, unless it's getting like a superstar.
Let's talk pre-draft here. The Kings, the reason why this trade is appealing in a lot of ways for Kings fans and the Kings in general is the Kings can potentially kill two birds with one stone. Dismissing the idea of Sadiq Bey, which I'm pretty confident in doing across the board. Jeremy Grant is a name that the Kings have had interest in. We've discussed before, Ku, you and I have discussed Jeremy Grant before, going back to conversations before last season's trade deadline. Jeremy Grant theoretically fills that four spot hole. And in addition to that, the Kings being able to get the fifth pick on top of that, the Kings would not just trade number four for Sadiq or for Jeremy Grant. So they're taking back number five in this trade. That gives them the opportunity to take a Keegan Murray, who everybody, who many believe is that ideal fit prospect for the Kings, that maybe four is too high, or maybe they go the direction of Sharp. Maybe they go the direction of AJ Griffin. It allows them to pick another player who's not considered top four that is maybe better fit over higher ceiling. So there are a lot of reasons why this trade would be ideal for the Sacramento Kings, but you have to have two to tango. Why would in any way this trade be ideal, if at all, for the Detroit Pistons?
So it would be ideal in the only scenario for me is if Paolo Banchero fell.
Yeah.
If Paolo Banchero fell to the number four pick, and if the Pistons are extremely high on Paolo, I have him number one on my little draft list. Mm-hmm. I think he's the best guy in the draft, but I can't say the same for the Pistons. I don't know where they're thinking there. So if they have him that high on their list and he falls to four, that would require that they would have a level of interest in doing that. And I think that, like I said earlier, it's going to be tough. It would be such a tough, like, 5 minutes for the Pistons to really decide what they want to do, because I do think that it makes sense if Banchero fell to four that they would make this trade. Maybe like I was talking with some Pistons people earlier today. They threw out Grant and five for like Kings four and Holmes, or Kings four and Barnes, something like that. And just swapping something like that for Banchero. And I could see that happening. But also, the thing that goes into it is that Portland is also very interested in Jeremy Grant. They've been pushing for him for a long time, and they have seven. So then also now it goes back again to, okay, if you're the Detroit Pistons, do you want to keep five and potentially trade Jeremy for seven? Then you have five and seven. Mm. Or if Banchero is there at four, do you forego the opportunity of getting two picks in the top seven to get a guy that I'm assuming he would have to be close to the top of your board in order for you to do a trade like this, forfeit five and seven and just give up Jeremy Grant and four or five to go up to four to get him? So it's going to be incredibly interesting. I do see an interest and a reason for him to do it if Banchero were to fall, but it's just, there's so many things that they will have to take into account, because Jeremy Grant is such a sought after name right now that they have to figure out which pathway do they want to go. Do they want to go the Kings way? Do they want to go the Suns way with DeAndre Ayton possibly? Do they want to go with the Portland Trailblazers? Like, it's going to be, I'm assuming that we'll probably get a better idea of that by then. We'll have like a month of rumors and some intel that gets leaked out. So, but it is interesting. I could see it happening possibly.
I'm glad you brought up Barnes and Holmes. I'm speaking for the Kings in this scenario, but of course I'm not general manager of the Kings. I have no idea if they'd feel as strongly about this as I do. I personally, in this negotiation, would take Harrison Barnes off the table. If the Kings can find a way to bring in a player like Jeremy Grant and still have Barnes on their roster, even though he is an expiring contract, I've been saying a lot this offseason, if the Kings can find a way to improve their roster and still have Harrison Barnes be their fourth scoring option, they've done very, very well for themselves. Rashawn Holmes absolutely is included in this conversation. But if you're the general manager of the Pistons, I'm general manager of the Kings, I'm saying Harrison Barnes is not available in this deal. Is that a deal breaker for you?
No, I don't think it's a deal breaker. I think Holmes is interesting, even though he has some off the court things I know that are going on.
They are cleared. Just so you know, they have been, for the most part, cleared. A Los Angeles court ruled in favor of Rashawn Holmes. He has his son back. And for the most part, it sounds like it's water under the bridge at this point, just for context.
Oh, fair enough then. So I actually like Holmes. So it wouldn't be a deal breaker. Again, I'm not, like you said, we're not the actual GMs or anything, but it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me for Barnes to be off the table. I still am interested in Holmes. I think he fits kind of what the Pistons are doing. And again, if I'm that high on Banchero, the drop off between Holmes and Barnes and Holmes isn't enough for me to say, no, I just don't want it. Because the real prize of the deal would be getting Banchero.
So to sum it up, and you just said it right there, if the Kings and Kings fans are hoping for a trade like this to happen between the Kings and the Pistons, they're going to have to wait till draft night, and they're going to have to wait till Paulo slides. Like that's what sounds like the most likely scenario is. It's not out of the realm of possibility that the Kings and Pistons work out some kind of swap before draft night, but if Banchero were to slide, that's where the Kings could really take advantage of the I still feel like desperation is the wrong word, but can take advantage of the desires of Detroit.
Correct.
All right. Well, that's an interesting context, and that's important to bring the conversation because I've always felt that as ideal of a situation as it is for the Kings to swap 4 for 5 and bring in a player like Jeremy Grant, it's always to me felt a little bit more like that's the Pistons helping the Kings out more than that's both teams helping each other out. So we'll have to wait and see how it plays out on draft night, Koo. It'll be fun to follow regardless. I'm sure there are going to be rumors galore over the remainder of the next 30 plus days until we get to the draft itself. I appreciate you, my man. And even though the Kings got the better pick than the Pistons in this one, I wish you guys the best of luck over there in the Eastern Conference. And thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you guys make the right pick here and end up, you know, with something positive here. Feeling your best starts with what you eat. Sakura helps you live a healthy, balanced lifestyle and truly enjoy it with delicious, plant-rich, transformational nutrition that builds a foundation for living in your best body. Looking and feeling your best shouldn't mean deprivation. Instead, choose joy and abundance. Sakura's organic, plant-rich, transformational nutrition programs are designed to help you cultivate body intelligence so you can nourish your body and experience the results that you want. Sakura is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Sakura gives you the tools you need to transform your life with their organic, ready-to-eat meal delivery program and functional wellness essentials. The nutritionally designed, chef-crafted breakfasts, lunches, and dinners are made with powerful plant-rich ingredients, helping boost your energy, support your digestion, curb your sugar cravings, and get your skin glowing. Plus, it's all delivered right to your door and ready to eat. Sakura's functional, plant-rich wellness essentials help you create a body you love living in. From their best-selling metabolism super powder to the foundation, their daily supplement packs, and Sakura's products are designed to support your wellness goals anytime, anywhere. Right now, Sakura is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakura.com/lockedon20 or enter code lockedon20 at checkout. That's Sakura, sakara.com/lockedon20 to get 20% off your first order. That's sakura.com/lockedon20. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. It's the best way to support the podcast. So you guys got to hear from two different teams today. You got to hear from the Portland Trailblazers' point of view about possibly trading for Jeremy Grant in that 7th overall pick. You got to hear from Matt George about possibility of moving up to number 4. I think what's going to be even more interesting, some of the things we talked about from this episode, some things that are going to be really interesting to watch as the next, you know, month winds down and really the next month and a half, is what happens with Jeremy Grant, man. Because I agree with what Mike said, that I think a deal really wants to be done between these two teams. Portland really wants Jeremy Grant. Damian Lillard wants Jeremy Grant and his team. And the Pistons are more than happy to move Jeremy Grant if they get the right kind of value back. Unfortunately, do I want the number 7 overall pick? Absolutely. If the Pistons could get the number 7 overall pick for Jeremy Grant, I'd be ecstatic. However, again, like we talked about with Mike, I just feel like that is a home run for the Pistons. I don't feel like that's something that the Blazers are really... I feel like the Blazers are paying too much for Jeremy Grant at that point. Again, we're Pistons fans over here, so if the Pistons are able to pull that off, we'd be ecstatic. But being realistic, I don't see it. Could I see it happening? Yeah, but it's just like that's tough. It looks like that another deal is going to have to be made. Cause I just don't know if that number 7 overall pick is really worth Jeremy Grant. And if that isn't, what's the other deal that could possibly happen that the Pistons would be happy about? I don't think they have one. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. And then also, like we talked about a little bit with Matt as well, is that if the Pistons want to trade Jeremy Grant, do they trade him for the number 7 overall pick and get 2 top 7 picks? Do they trade him to go up to number 4 if one of the top 3 fall and give up 5 and Jeremy Grant to move up to 4 and something else? Is that how they choose to use Jeremy Grant's value? Or do they choose to use Jeremy Grant's value to help them get DeAndre Ayton? I feel like literally Jeremy Grant is like the key to almost every key acquisition that the team is going to make this offseason. If they want to get DeAndre Ayton, I'm assuming that Jeremy Grant's going to have to get involved. If they want to try and move up in the draft because one of their guys slipped or something, they're going to have to use Jeremy Grant. If they want to get another top 10 pick in the draft, they're going to have to use Jeremy Grant. Like, everything starts with what they choose to do with Jeremy Grant. And I can't lie. I'm as confused about what they're going to do as I've ever been. I feel like there's so many different routes they could go. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're going to do. It also comes down to what prospect they really like. Like, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I told you guys this on the reaction episode to the lottery. Am I disappointed? Hell yes. I'm disappointed as hell that we didn't get top three. However, falling to five opens all this up. It opens up all this discussion. It opens up all these possibilities. It opens up all these different roads that you could go down. Is it to move up in the draft? Do you use Jeremy to now get another top 10 pick? Do you use him to go get someone else in free agency? DeAndre Ayton, do you use him in a bigger trade? Does another team come out of nowhere and say, listen, we wanted on the Jeremy Grant sweepstakes. Now you can get someone else. Like, it's just going to be so interesting to see what happens. And I seriously have no clue which route they're going to go. So it's going to be an interesting month to see where things start to lead up, what rumors we start to see, what intel starts to be leaked out, what happens here. Because, again, like I've said over and over, I think Jeremy Grant is the key here. Jeremy Grant is going to be the key to their offseason about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. So let me know in the comment section or over on Twitter at Cuckoo Hill, what do you guys think the Pistons are going to do with Jeremy Grant? Do you see them possibly moving up to get one of their guys? Do you see them possibly trading him to get another top 10 pick? Do you see them possibly using him to try to get DeAndre Ayton? Do you see him not going any of those three places and possibly a surprise team coming out of nowhere and getting Jeremy Grant? Let me know in the comment section down below what you guys think or over on Twitter. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to our YouTube channel, Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. Let me know what you guys think about this setup that we did. We started off with Mike Richmond, a crossover with him, and then we went straight into a crossover that we had with Matt George over at Locked On Kings. Did you guys enjoy that? Was that fun, or did you guys feel like it was a little, you didn't like how it flipped too quickly there? Let me know what you guys think. I think it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed recording this, but if you guys would like it being more separate in their own episodes and not having two different guys on at once, let me know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter. Until the next time, though, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe. Enjoy the playoff games. And I'll see you then. Peace out, everybody.